Guernica Q. Welcome everybody to Art Chat, debuting on the Side Quest. It's just us talking art for nonstop.
It's gonna be a real short podcast because that's it.
Oh goodness. Yes, we started off talking about cubism and impressionism and surrealism. Cubism is Picasso and surrealism is Dali. So that's it. That's you get your dosage of art for the night.
There you go. Hey, Sam, how's your butt?
My butt's fine. My gut sucks.
Jeez. They rhyme.
Butt gut.
Got that gut rot.
Yeah. You getting that looked at, buddy?
I am. In January, I have a tube going down my throat, so we'll see how that goes.
You sound better this week than you did last week.
That's good. My impending death doesn't feel so immediate today, so that's nice.
What about you, Dally? You got any poop problems? You got any intestinal issues?
No intestinal issues. I did just run to the restroom real quick. That's why we were a couple minutes late on starting. And I did get my alcohol. I am Dally Domofsky. That beautiful voice you were just hearing was Aaron Kelly.
I do not have a radio voice.
No, you do not. But you do wear a wonderful scarf, my friend. No money to pay for heat, so he's wearing a scarf. We also have Sam Dixon, who's...
That's more true than you know.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. And we have Sam Dixon also on the line. Hi, Sam. Hello. Hi, caller.
Hello, friends. How are you?
I like how it's just... Your picture is just dark now. It's just a black screen.
Oh, is it? Huh. Mm-hmm. I wonder where that went.
Not even a logo.
Does it think I have a webcam?
It might.
Weird. Yeah, I got my... Got my first winter power bill yesterday.
Oh no!
Yeah, so get this: my first power bill, which was from like the last day of August to the middle of October, $103. I was like, okay, that's decent. All I run is my computer and my mini fridge and a lamp. From middle of October to first week of December, second power bill, $288. Yeah,
that's fucking crazy.
It was high enough. It was high enough that I mentioned it to my mother, and she was like, "Are you sure that bill's not for 4 months?" I was like, "No, this is 2 months." And she was like, "That's more than my entire house."
Like, that is, yeah, that's more than what we pay.
It's because my apartment's not insulated, so it doesn't matter how long the heat's on; it never reaches that point where it turns off because the apartment's warm enough. It just keeps clicking on. It's not good. It's very expensive.
We bought ourselves one of those Nest thermostats that seems to help us out a little bit. But yeah, I keep it cooler in the house and I wear like sweaters and stuff just to save a couple bucks here and there.
What's cooler for you? Like, what do you?
I'm trying to think. And
I'll do it in F. I've got the converter up right now.
Okay, you got the F. Cooler for me is like I can handle like around 66 degrees.
Yeah, so I'm set. I don't ever go higher than 59.
Oh my God Almighty!
And my power bill was still that.
That's so you're leaking power somewhere.
Power leak. I emailed my landlord. I was like, "Are you sure that this apartment's not connected to like another grid in this building?" And somebody else like, "Because this is way too high." And she's like, "No, it's just higher in the winter, and also we're not ever going to fix it." So that's just my power bill.
That's you. It's. It seems like the stories that come out of you every week, Aaron, are phenomenal. Whether it's teeth like exploding or vape niche,
I was at work the other day, and I happened to reach into my coat pocket because I was looking for a scrap of paper I had something written down on. And there was something in the bottom of my pocket. I pulled it out, and it was a piece of my tooth that exploded that I had lost and didn't put in that little jar. Like it was just in there. I don't know how it got in there.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Well, this is a good way to kick off the podcast. Art history, exploding teeth, lack of heat. We're already on a good clip right now. Sam's intestinal issues and my drinking. It took me a while to recover from that podcast last week, by the way. I was pretty lit.
I went to work and basically just laid my head on the counter and for most of the day.
My coworkers are wondering why I was like really sluggish that Friday. The best podcast of the year. Well, we have a good show today. We're going to spend the majority of it talking Smash Brothers, I feel.
Probably.
But before we do that, we can talk about some other games first. And I want to start with you, Aaron. How much HQ trivia have you been playing?
at least once a day, every day, sometimes twice if I remember to pick it up at work. I was playing it at work yesterday because I happened to catch the 4 p.m. game, and I was like two questions in, and or like three or four questions. I was in far enough that I didn't want to just not play anymore, so I just basically ignored the customer until I finished playing the entire transaction, just playing, just had my phone up, like
nice.
Barely answering questions. But yeah, still haven't won. They're doing a thing now where as you answer questions correctly up until Christmas, you earn like this weird like bonus level up to level 10. And for every level you have, if you get that question wrong, you can't get eliminated.
Hmm.
So if you get all the way up to level 10, you can just not fuck around with the first 10 questions. And then you've only got to answer 11 and 12. So if you play 5 days in a row, it gives you an extra life. So theoretically, you can't use it on the last question, but you can use it on question 11, I guess.
Hmm.
So you could have a pass on the first 10 questions, get question 11 wrong, get back in the game, and then, you know, have a 33% chance to get the money. I'm currently level 1.
It's all right.
They throw music questions in.
Somewhere. Yeah, you're not very good at music, huh?
Oh, my God. They asked a question the other day. It was like question 2 or something like that. It's like, which of these three musicians has an album called Christmas and Chill or something, and it was like Drake, Cardi B or Ariana Grande, and I was like, that sounds like a Drake thing because he's a stupid nerd.
Christmas and Chill.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
Was it Cardi B?
No, it was Ariana Grande.
Oh wow, okay.
But it's like I would never know that, and there's always a music question in there, and so I'm always eliminated.
What song, the Christmas edition, what song goes jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way?
Is that Jingle Bells? Is that just the name of the song?
I might be, actually. I don't know. We had our holiday party at the office yesterday, and I was in charge of the, we did like tavern style trivia. So I had to come up with questions. So I did 80s, like the first round was 80s pop culture, and the second round was Christmas movies. The 80s pop culture, I made it way too hard because people, out of the 15 questions, I think nobody got more than like 3 correct. I'm asking like, who's the guitarist who played the guitarist in the music video for Duran Duran or whatever, you know? Nobody was getting the questions right, but the music questions were like the ones that nobody had any answer for. So I can understand that, surprisingly.
Yeah. And that's basically all I've been playing.
Okay. Good
deal. I don't think I've really played anything. I've been playing a little bit of Civ 6. I've been playing a little Slay the Spire, but those are like, you know, old games. And I'm going to be looking at a game probably sometime this week called Dawn of Man.
Ooh.
Which according to the email that I got, there's no embargo of any kind. So feel free to stream or publish any footage from the game. So I can just talk about
please
it.
Please feel free to stream or publish. Okay. It's kind of a weird time of year because you still have like a few big blockbusters that are floating around. And we'll get to one in a little bit here, but then you have a bunch of like smaller double A or mid tier or whatever level games that are popping up out of nowhere. So are there any more big releases this year in the West for the holidays?
I don't think so, because even Forza got its DLC this week.
Okay, that's true.
Let's have a quick look. We can figure this shit out real quick. What is today, the 14th?
Yes.
Starlink is coming out on... Well, this says Starlink is coming out on the Switch, PS4, and Xbox One, but Starlink's already out, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
for all of those platforms.
I'm in October, that's why. Hold on. Fuck.
All right.
Borderlands 2 VR, Warhammer Vermintide 2, Dragon Quest Builders 2, And of course, slated for 2018, but with no official release date yet, Sharon No Cuny, The Girl Among the Sunflowers. Everybody's been waiting for that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think sale, games on sales, everyone's waiting for. Well, I have been playing a new game, surprisingly. That's not Smash Brothers. I've been playing and reviewing, I think it's Gear Club Unlimited 2 for the Switch. So it's a racing game. It's not Forza. I have Forza sitting over there right now. I'm looking at it in the case. But I got handed the code for Gear Club 2 on Nintendo Switch console. And holy shit, that's a really pretty racing game. I'm surprised that they were able to fit that look, you know, that level of quality on the Switch. Yeah, there's still some pop-up and a little bit of hairiness here and there, but for what they've accomplished, it's actually really good. So the Gear Club games are sort of these mobile games, and they ported the first one over to the Switch back, I think it was like, maybe it was earlier this year or end of last year. And this new one just came out, I think, on Monday, with a few more cars, much better visuals, and it's more kind of based on, based on the Switch from the ground up. So it's less of a port of a mobile game and more of an actual game developed for the console. It still has some mobile tendencies, like you can build up your garage and put like plants and shit for no reason. I don't know why you'd want to. It's something that people like to do in mobile games, I guess. This is an Animal Crossing or Car Crossing. The visuals are real nice. The only real issue I have with the game, it's a little grindy with how it kind of proceeds through the career mode. It's a pretty long career mode, and it feels like a cross between like they're trying to play catch up to Forza, but they don't have the technical skills understanding. I think it's actually made up of a bunch of former like Test Drive or Top Gear or something designers, and a bunch of other car racing game designers. But the Switch obviously can't pump out the power that the Xbox One X can do, so it doesn't look as great, and it doesn't function as great. Partly also because the Switch doesn't have analog buttons, which sucks for racing games. You want to have that analog button for accelerating.
How would you describe the road feel?
there is no road feel in this game. It feels like you're constantly on a track. Even when you go off road in some of these areas, you're essentially forced back onto the pavement pretty quickly. Not with an assist or anything, just the design of the track. There isn't a lot that hangs past the pavement, and you're driving around like towns and country roads and shit like that, mountaintops. And it all looks really nice, but it's not definitely doesn't have like the depth that a Forza or even a Gran Turismo has. But for realism, it's like it's caught between trying to be an arcadey game and a sim game. It doesn't quite know which side to go on. I would have actually rather it gone more towards arcadey, because trying to do something super sim on the Switch right now isn't the best choice. But it's still a pretty solid racing experience. I'm actually surprised. I didn't like the first one very much. But this is definitely much more improved, and it's held my attention. Where I can just pick up a quick race. And the races are pretty quick. They're only like 2 minutes long, 3 minutes long at most. But and it actually has a rewind feature, so you can see they're aping a lot from Forza. You could rewind the track a little bit and kind of adjust where you restart, and then which I found myself doing quite a bit. It doesn't penalize you for that either. So but yeah, it's actually not a I'm kind of surprised. It's expensive though. I think it's like $30 or something, or maybe $40 or some crazy number like that for a racing game. And I suspect that price will drop pretty quick. But just the nature of those types of games on the eShop, maybe out in retail too. But it's not bad. Not a bad game. I think in a weird way, it's like saying, I think in a couple more iterations, this will be a really solid franchise, but it's not quite there yet. It's still, I mean, the online racing right now is all asynchronous. So it's all like you're racing ghosts from your friends. And so there isn't a competitive online yet that's coming in an update in the next like week or two here. And so I've been playing local and I've been playing online, but with like ghost racers and stuff. You can kind of create your own clubs, your gear club, and sort of compete in a, I think it's like a weekly league or something like that. But there isn't a whole lot. There aren't a whole lot of people playing right now, which is kind of a shame because I think the club feature is actually a really neat idea. Who was that?
Sorry, an alarm that I did not turn off. My bad.
Nice, nice. But yeah, I'm actually, you know, I'm hopeful that they can, if they can have continuous updates for this game, I think it could actually build up a little bit of a following, which could be kind of cool. So yeah, it's not a bad game. It's weird. It's weird to say it because usually like these racing games that are not Forza or Gran Turismo or you know, something like that, they don't hold up well, but I have a little bit more faith in this, probably because it's one of the very few racing games on the Switch of this type. So, let's see what else I've been playing. More of the Pokemans, which are really good. I'm actually enjoying just the total chill nature of Pokemon. Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. So that's really good. I played the demo for Katamari Damacy Reroll.
I saw that was on Steam. It's good.
Oh, it's good. God. The demo is phenomenal. So I can tell you the demo is great. So I think I'm going to be picking this game up. I've never played a Katamari game, so this is my first time, and I'm really digging it. I'm really digging it. So yeah, count me in for that. And then I've been going through some of the NES online games that they have on the Switch. And God, they don't hold up very well, do they? I don't know if it's the Switch, the controls in the Switch, or just the nature that you go back to like nostalgic games, and they really aren't that great. Like the NES 8-bit games, very few are really like all that well designed. The Super NES stuff I think is fantastic, but yeah, I don't know. I'm playing these games. I'm like, okay, I've had my fill of Castlevania 2 or whatever I was playing yesterday. Adventures of Lolo. I'm like, yeah, that wasn't that. Why did I think that was fun back in the day? This is just like not very good right now.
That was always my question with like the NES Classic is how many of those got bought, played for that holiday season for like maybe a month or two, and then now are just in a closet or on a
every
shelf
single one. Yeah. Every single one. People played them probably for that week, the holidays, and that was it. That was a really cool idea. Although you may want to buy them now because they're stopping.
They were going to stop producing them the last two times. Yeah, I mean, at this point, those classics are good at emulation and using them to play like GBA games and stuff like that on it.
Or if you want to play PS1 games, they play better on the Super NES Classic than they do on the PlayStation 1.
Yeah, sure do. Yeah, wow. Any of us get the PlayStation Classic? I assume no.
I canceled my pre-order.
No, yeah. I didn't.
I hope somebody discovers that that box can play like, you know, PlayStation 2 games emulated or something.
Everybody would be after.
Well, they figured out that you can get into the like the emulator menu if you have like certain kinds of keyboards. If you plug them in and press
escape. Yeah, well, they actually even found a solution past that where you just need a USB device. Yeah, so now it's basically as hackable as the Super NES, but the only thing they have running on it right now is PlayStation 1 stuff. I assume at some point, like with the Hitachi,
yeah,
whatever the hacking thing was for the Super NES, and I think the Wii U also, as soon as they figure, you know, somebody will eventually get those lower running emulators to work on that, because it already runs RetroArch and like the PSX emulator or whatever it's called. Like, Sony really didn't even bother trying to. Where Nintendo at least attempted to, like, kind of cover things up. They still left the USB port, which screwed them in the end. But, man, Sony just probably paid some production house to just print out these devices and will not care.
It's Soldier Boy. They paid Soldier Boy.
Yeah.
In all actuality, I'd probably rather have the Soldier Box than the PlayStation Classic.
I hear that thing's really, really something.
Yeah, make sure you guys watch Tom's over at Game Ranks, the video they posted on their review of the Soldier Boy Soldier game or whatever it's called. Holy cow, that's beautiful. It's a wonderful try before you buy experience. yeah, that's all I'm playing. You been playing anything else that's non-Smash Brothers?
Sam? I'm not sure. Did you guys talk about Persona Dancing Games at all last week?
No, did you?
No. We actually have it scheduled for tomorrow at 8 o'clock, I believe, or 9 o'clock.
Oh, nice. Nice.
It's in there somewhere. Yeah, we're going to crank out like 4 videos tomorrow, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah, so Persona 5 Dancing... nope, that's not what it's called. That's Persona 4 Dancing All Night. Okay, it's Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight and Persona 3 Dancing in Moonlight.
Did they change the names? I like the Japanese translations better.
Oh, what are the Japanese translations?
Well, the original information when those games were first announced, it was Dancing Moon Night and Dancing Star Night.
Okay, oh, that's
right.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I guess they changed it. So let's talk about how they took a game that was perfect in Persona 4 Dancing All Night and stripped everything exciting out of that except for music, and then raised the price by $10 and sold it to you again. That would be these Persona games. I am a huge champion of Persona 4 Dancing All Night, but I don't know if I can recommend either of these Persona dancing games, even if you're a big fan. We'll get to the economic value of it and how Atlus is already trying to squeeze as much money as possible out of people with this. But the first thing is Persona 4 worked really well in a dancing game because it had its own style, but they took that and like elevated it into this like weird dance techno platform that like wasn't part of Persona 4 before. Persona 5 is very themed around the idea of its music and its atmosphere and like its menus and stuff like that. They all work together to tell that. And it's the most like themed Persona game there's been. So trying to take it and manipulate it into this dancing game really didn't work for it. Instead of going to this like cool dance club vibe that Persona 4 did, they decided to try to like copy that like electronic stuff exactly and then ignore the theme of the actual game. So if you wanted to make the game like a cool nightclub or like a jazz club with some like punk influences, that is like what the remixes of the songs for Persona 5 probably should have been. But instead, they're not good. With the remixes they have, there's like maybe 3 songs per game that I would say are listenable outside of the game. Like, I don't think I would listen to anything on the Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight soundtrack if it wasn't part [S2] Wow. [S1] Of the Persona 5 good soundtrack already. So... as I said, they stripped down a story mode. There is conversations and dialogue between characters, but you have like influence on the conversation, like dialogue choices, but they don't lead to anything. It's not like if I said this instead of that, like something else is going to happen. So you're basically just watching like video presentations of these characters, which is okay, but Persona 4 had a whole storyline and had a whole bunch of stuff, which makes sense if you're going to charge like full price for a dancing game to have a full storyline, but to strip that out and charge more money for either of these games separately is nuts. Secondly, whatever number I'm on, Persona 4 has over 29 songs, I think it is, by default. Persona 5 only has 24. And I don't know about Persona 3 because I haven't gotten through all of it yet because it's become a chore. In terms of gameplay, they have basically copied the same thing, except for the Persona 3 one is blue, as opposed to the Persona 5 one being yellow. But they made the icons grow bigger as they get to the like the hit point of where you would like strum them or whatever you would do to tackle them in the rhythm game. So much so that like I had to go back to make sure that I wasn't making it up in Persona 4, but it screws with your timing because these buttons that are like maybe let's say like an inch wide all of a sudden grow to about an inch and a half. So I don't know the exact timing of like when you're supposed to hit them. So that makes gameplay worse. I thought I was just bad at rhythm games for a while. I checked latency and all that type of stuff, but it ended up just being like I had to figure out, like, where is the center of these icons when they get to the actual, like, hit point. So let's talk costumes and other fan service. Let's talk
costumes.
So this game is, like, these dancing games are all about fan service. I mean, no, you know, there's core RPG people that love Persona. I don't know about rhythm game fans. And I think Persona 4 was a great rhythm game and a great Persona game for both fans to enjoy. This one is still a good rhythm game because I still think the, like, way you play the game is fun in comparison to other rhythm games. But a lot of, like, unlocks of the quote-unquote story are tied to wearing accessories and costumes in the game. So there's a bunch in the game, but none of them are, like, specially themed towards other Atlas properties, which they've done in the past. There is a Sonic suit that Morgana can wear.
Go on.
which there's a great line in that game where Morgana goes, what am I, just some mascot or something? And then, like, you play the song that comes out after that and you unlock, like, the Teddy outfit and, like, the Aegis outfit for him. So yes, you are the mascot of the game. So if you go on PSN right now, you can buy the Persona 3 and 5 season song pass for $25. You can buy the accessory pass for $20. You can buy the Persona 5 costume season pass, which is not the accessories and does not include those, for $20. And then, of course, you can also buy the Persona 3 season costume pass for another $20. So if you bought the bundle, you've already paid $100 for 48 songs. Plus, then you get Persona 4 Dancing All Night, which, if you're a fan of the series and you bought the deluxe bundle, you probably already own. Atlas, I understand that this is a fan service-y game and it's all about fan service, but for the love of God, you are squeezing so much money out of this game. I don't understand it. Like, yes, they gave two free songs, which is the opening theme for Persona 5 and Persona 3, I believe. And yes, the Sonic suit was free. But the, like, I don't know, you stripped
is
out.
It, but is it, is it hairy leg Sonic from the movie? Or
no, it's, like, weird. Like, it looks like a, like, what is that Halloween store?
Whatever that
Halloween store is, it looks like you would be able to buy the Sonic suit from there. God, it's so frustrating because I like the gameplay so much of the Persona Dancing series, but they basically made half the game they made before, charged more for it, and then packaged the two of them together, and they still might have less content than what Persona 4 Dancing All Night has total now, which yeah. is nuts. So and the only way to get Persona 4 Dancing All Night on PS4 is to buy the deluxe bundle. They will not be selling it separately. At least that's what they say. But that's okay because you can buy half the songs for Persona 5 Dancing All Night if you want.
That works. No, it doesn't.
Yeah. I think I did the math and it's over like $300 to get everything.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So
that's insane. That's your review right there. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'll have more facts and stuff when we actually make a video, so it's less about me ranting and more about, like, getting you the cold, hard facts. I wish I could say just go buy Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight or Persona 3, whichever one you're the bigger fan of. Like, just go buy that one. But, like, it's honestly too hard for me to recommend that because you will get to the end of it and go, wow, I spend this much money for not enough. And you know, games are whatever value you put on them, but my value is that this is not worth it for that price.
At the very least, you'll get that Persona 5 character Joker in Smash Brothers.
Yeah,
wow.
you will. Oh man, I was like, the game was like hot and everybody on the site, you know, we were all talking about on the site that, you know, a lot of you guys had come off of playing Persona 5 and loving it. And so this game was like scratching a really cool itch for you guys, but apparently didn't do a decent, even a half decent job of fulfilling what you were expecting. So, wow. What about a good game?
Well, I will say just very briefly that I did play like the first 5 minutes of Fortune Island for the Forza.
Expansion. Okay. Tell me about that. Yeah, yeah.
I basically only played through the opening and a race. That opening is still a really good opening. Whoever is making those openings for Forza is doing a really good job. Yeah, it has like a, you know, that game or that expansion is based more on extreme weather and like more off-road racing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that maybe the main game had a little bit too much off-road racing already, especially since the seasons you're kind of stuck in four-wheel drive cars for like much of it. I'm hoping that they give like cool like dune buggies and stuff more for this because they tout a lot of, I guess there's a new drift storyline that's going to be there. And they talk about like all the switchbacks and different mountain crossings and climbs and stuff like that. So I'm hoping that means that it's going to be like more rally style racing and more like, you know, like trophy truck like type of stuff.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, I love Forza 4, Horizon 4, I plan on. Playing that expansion, and they are constantly adjusting content, and it's looking good for the future of that. But if we're going to talk about good games and the online functionality not looking good for the future, let's talk about Smash Brothers.
Let's talk about Smash Brothers. I've been playing this nonstop. It feels like it for the last.
Yeah, I can't wait to make Tom mad when I tell him my favorite game of this year is Smash Brothers.
It showed up at the last second. So the game basically launched at the tail end of the Game Awards last week, right? As the Game Awards are shutting down, people were starting to load up Smash Brothers. And, we've played a bunch. I know you did a bunch of the little mini rooms for us, the servers, right?
Battle arenas or
whatever. Battle arena, whatever they're called. So we've been playing that, been playing all the different modes, unlocking all them characters. And just in general, what are your thoughts? Are you you're loving it? I take it, huh?
Well, I've been like a dedicated Smash like fan since game one. I mean, okay, so technically, I hated Smash Brothers, and then Melee happened, and it was the only game my brother could beat me at, and that was not to stand. And then through simple abuse of playing it too much, I've gained to like it, and since then, it's been like one of my favorite series. So you have to take that in mind. But with that being said, I was worried that Spirits mode was going to just kind of be stupid. But man, do I love seeing like all the dumb, creative ways they come up with like
it's characters. So good. It's so good.
It's really smart. And you know that it was just like a bunch of people in a room, like, you know, like spouting ideas back and forth and sharing like their favorite characters and being like, oh, well, we have Fox, so we could do this with him and this and that. Then they're there. And it's just crazy some of the stuff they dig up too.
Like the Ness's dad one a lot of people are talking about.
Yeah.
Where anybody that's played Earthbound or Mother 3, they know you never actually see your dad. You just call him on the phone. Well, he's kind of, in this game, they made him like a spirit battle, so they use Snake, an invisible Snake, as kind of the invisible father. You have to battle. It's so good. It's so good. For a Snorlax battle, they have a giant King K. Rool that just kind of sits there that you got to just take out. I mean, he just does nothing but just kind of sit there.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's so good.
That's the funny thing is there are spirits that are like, you know, some of them are supposed to be super difficult, but then there are other ones that are just, I feel like, put in there to be funny.
Yeah.
Or like just to be silly. And those are always good. The World of Light, I mean, is just those spirit board battles, but like more focused.
And you sometimes have to unlock some things from one battle to like get a certain spirit that can help you in a different battle.
Oh, that's true. Like you have to find like a boatman spirit. Or no, it's the boat guy that takes you to the island in Animal Crossing.
Uh-huh.
If you can find his spirit, and then there's the section of the map that needs like a boat to cross. And if you find that spirit, you can use it to get across.
I know there was one where there's one of the battles so there's like these little dojos and arenas set up throughout the area and shops and stuff. And one of them is blocked by a battle where there's constantly wind blowing and on like two little islands that you're on, two little platforms. And if you fall into the water, you sink instantly because you have no, you can't swim. And so you can get a spirit that gives you swimming powers in situations like that. And so you go back like halfway through the spirit mode, you go back and you get that spirit and you go back and open that area up. So it's kind of interesting.
I guess we'll just go clockwise around the modes.
Let's do it.
So there's Smash, which is your basic, like, you know, everybody's here. Let's play four to eight.
Everyone's here.
Yeah, 1 to 8 players, Smash Brothers together. I mean, and that's pretty much the same. You choose your map before you choose your characters now. Then one nice addition that they've added is the ability to preset all of your settings for Smash mode.
Yeah.
So that's helped with our online stuff. So I have like all the maps that move deactivated, no items, like, all that stuff. So, and that carries throughout any mode that you're playing with other people. So making it in the Smash mode in single player carries that setting over to the online mode. So you'd be able to just, get right into that. And that's, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. If you've ever played Smash or a fighting game, that's your default mode. Then let's see here. I think I don't know what the mode is called. I know it's blue. collection, is that what it's called?
It's like a vault. I think it's vault.
That's where like your like classic mode is, where you just choose a character, choose your difficulty level, and play through like 5 or 6 themed matches, and then fight a boss of some sort. That mode got like a kind of like more interesting spin to it. Like if you play as Fox, all of your battles will be against like spacefaring like opponents. So like one of the last bosses or one of the last characters was Wolf, obviously. But I fought against like Captain Falcon. I fought against like Zero Suit Samus.
Mm-hmm.
And then like what was it? I think it's Pokemon Trainers. You fight against all the other Pokemon in the game.
Oh my god! Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they do like interesting stuff like that, and then some characters have most characters have like Master Hand or Crazy Hand, I think is the other one, as the main boss at the end. But then some of them have like other characters that you fight at the end, like
there's
Simon.
Like themed ones for like the Mario characters have like a lot of them, like a lot of them will have Koopa and some version of, you know, Mecha Koopa or whatever.
Yeah. Or like Simon will fight like Dracula at the end, or I think Mega Man probably fights that yellow dude. That's on that one Mega Man map. Sorry,
Pac-Man.
Mega Man.
No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah. Yeah. For the main boss. And then you get a nice, like arcade, like Galaga style shooter.
Yeah.
The menu.
It's actually kind of fun. I think I spent like, I kept winning classic mode just to play that over and over again.
Yeah. As the credits roll for classic mode, you get to play that like little arcade game and earn rewards for, doing it. And they've always had something like that at the end of most of the Smash Brothers games. That's also where you find like the mob smashes, which is like Century Smash, which is fight against 100 opponents that are really bad. Cruel Smash, which is fight against as many opponents as you can that'll kick your ass and you'll probably die within 1 or 2. And I think it's All-Star Smash, which is you have to fight every character on the roster. So 70 odd characters to fight. And those have been in past Smash Brothers and stuff like that. And then you have the vault section, which collects all of your like records and stuff like that. You know, who fought who, how many. I think there's a shop in there too, where you can buy spirits with the coins you earn for playing Smash battles and online battles. So that's pretty, that's where your system settings and stuff are. And then you have online, which is the real sticking point at the moment. It seems like if you have a group of friends and you're going to play on voice chat or at least have some way to communicate, the battle arena mode's not so bad. You can only play like 1 to 4 player matches or one-on-ones. And I guess we've never run into the issue because we've only ever played with up to 4 people. But I guess it's the person who's running the arena's job to choose who fights and when. So like you can't just drag yourself in the match. The arena person has to choose to drag you into a match. So,
oh, wait,
like,
really?
Yeah, so I think there's a way around that because you can do where the bottom two automatically switch.
Okay.
So I think you can get away with that if you wanted to do it that way. But if you didn't want to do it that way, I think the arena – and well, you could technically remove yourself, I think. But I think it would be up to the arena master to, like, remove you if you refuse to do so. Hmm. Which, again, if you're in a group of friends, like, unless somebody's being a real dick, like, you'll be fine with just doing whatever. So I don't think there's really a huge issue with that, other than you have to get, after every match, you have to go out of a menu to go into another menu to change your character. That sucks. And there's no way to be like, okay, well, I would just want an automatic rematch or whatever. If we all hit the same button, like we're all ready to go. So there's none of that. But then the other online mode, which is the big problem with people right now, is where you put in what sort of settings you want, and the game matches you with somebody who, quote, is near those settings. That's not the case, it seems. It seems the game has been choosing match stability over like the choice of what you want to fight the match in. So you have people that want to fight like all serious with no items, you know, Battlefield only or whatever. They're getting into like four player smashes on like Poke Floats, not actually in the game, with like, you know, all types of weapons and smash balls. It sounds like Nintendo has said that they're going to try to focus more on what your rule settings are over latency in a patch that's supposed to come out soon or might have already. I know there was a patch yesterday, but I didn't read any updates. Let's hope. I know there is actually a ranked mode that you can get to, but I think you have to play like something like 20 matches online before you can unlock it.
You have to unlock everything in this, right?
Yeah. So it's one of those things where Nintendo has once again done that Drake meme like wave away to pro players and has like, you know, has looked at the casual fans and been like, cool. And you know, I'm not a pro Smash player. I've played Smash very seriously in the past at tournaments and stuff, and I'm totally fine with that. I've never cared about wave dashing or anything like that. I think Smash is a great party game and a great fun competitive game if you're willing to be competitive about it. And I think, you know, all games can be that way. Mario Kart can be competitive if you really want it to be competitive. It's just however you choose to play it. And I think Smash Brothers gives you more choices of how to play it than it ever has before. And I think that's the big selling point.
Oh, God, yeah, totally does, yeah.
What about if I want to play my favorite character and it just won't pop?
Yo, go ahead, Sam. There's something interesting I want to mention about this.
So my only argument about that is that it makes you better at the game to have those unlocks staggered like that. Because you get 8 characters to start, and you have to.
And they're really only like every. Characters. It's like every 2 matches or like 5.
Yeah,
minutes
it's really it's like every 20 minutes is like effectively like how it is, and you can manipulate it to get it faster if you want. Yeah. But I think it's a smarter idea because it forces you to get to know characters before you use them and before, before you can just jump to them and never play anybody else again. You know, if like, let's say my main was like one of the starting 8, like then yeah, I guess I'm, you know, whatever, like I'm perfect. But if my main's like the 30th unlock, I could be upset about that. But if I'm going to learn the game and I'm going to become better at the game, I need to know what these characters do. And the best way to do that is to limit me to who I can choose and force me to get to use these other characters before I get to the person I want and ignore everything else. It's exactly like a MOBA. Except for this isn't free to play and you don't have to pay in-game currency or, real money to unlock these characters.
Mm-hmm.
You have to gain experience playing them and then you unlock more characters and hopefully you gain experience playing those characters and unlock more characters until you're finally like done. I'm sorry if your favorites weren't in the top 8. Maybe they should have been longer legacy Nintendo characters.
Well, I mean, the top 8 are the original game, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
those are enough. Those characters were enough for the original Smash Brothers, but
that's bullshit because there were 4 extra characters.
Yeah, there were the secret characters in that game, there's enough variety of choice in those original 8 that you can get like a feeling for those like types of characters. So like Donkey Kong's like a heavy character, mm-hmm. Mario's like more of a medium character, Pikachu's a fast character. I think it's a smart plan. Now maybe I could see like the weird thing I've been hearing about is like people are complaining about like, oh, but what about tournament organizers and stuff?
That's what I was going to bring up because some tournament organizers have to have every player unlocked, right?
So literally that is only a problem for day 1 of the game and that will not be a problem for the rest of any tournament. So if you had a tournament on the day 1 of Smash Brothers,
sorry, I guess you didn't get every character in the game. But if you have a tournament now, there is no way that those tournament organizers do not like have a copy of that game, like with all the characters unlocked. And the better thing is, if the organizers don't, do you don't think all of those pro players have a Switch like in their backpack, like ready to go with all the characters unlocked so they can practice? Like, it's not like they couldn't check it and be like, okay, well, I'm just going to put this Switch in this dock with our rule settings and now we're good to go. Like, I just, that argument is like the stupidest argument I think I've ever heard for and, why it sucks. But,
and really, you know, tournaments, I had, somebody brought up the commentary that, you know, all you have to do is just have the consoles available for people to play for like the 3 hours before the tournament and they'll have everything unlocked,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's again, it's literally will not be a problem from here on in. It was just maybe the first day or two when people weren't quite sure to how to unlock characters. Like, I cannot see that being a real argument against the game.
I mean, even if you have to buy more copies of Smash Brothers, I mean, it, like I said, all it takes is just a little bit of, they're tied to the console, aren't they? So it's not even the worry about the,
I don't think they're tied to the console. They're tied to the save. So you could even pull a save over from that.
What were you going to say, Aaron?
Well, I was just going to say that the default characters are the default characters from the first Smash, right?
Yeah.
So that means Fox is a default character?
Yep.
I
guess I got my main unlocked, so I guess.
Yeah, you're okay.
Exactly. And that's where the argument is. It's the only people that have a problem with this are people whose mains they feel like are 30 characters until they unlock.
The ice climbers, man.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. One thing like, I'll play Sonic. Yeah. I'll throw down as Sonic the Hedgehog, but I mean, I got Fox.
One thing they've done that's kind of smart is that they allow you to even like this first run, they just released an update today, or maybe it was last night, that updates the game that makes it easier for when you face off against these new challengers, because some of them were really difficult, especially if you play. Do yourself a favor and don't play it with these controls, because these controls are horrible for Smash Brothers. You want to play it with the actual like pro controller. So one nice thing that they've done is that they allow you to, there's like a magic, so, you know, quote unquote magic door opens up in like the vault area or something, or the games and more area that lets you go back, you know, and replay some of those characters. So the ones that you may have missed. So that's always a bonus, yeah. But
I will say they actually nerfed how strong the opponents were, because I was getting wrecked by some of those people. It took me like 10 times fighting Palutena, the unlocker.
Mess. It was not Marth, but who was the blue haired girl from Fire Emblem?
Oh, Lucina.
Lucina. Like, it's been like 5 battles with her already, and I haven't been able to freaking beat her. But who's your main? Who's your main right now? Who you loving?
I don't know yet who my main is.
Have you unlocked everybody yet?
Yeah, I have everybody. It's weird because like every Smash Brothers, I have like different main characters. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm playing like Sheik and Rosalina. Okay. Wolf. I've been trying to get into Incineroar because I really like that, like throwing him off the ropes move. That's so fun. But yeah, I mean, I like
King K. Rool. King K. Rool has been like really solid for me recently. Yeah.
When I've been like playing with Gan and stuff, like I will probably end up just choosing a bunch of random, just because it then lets me try a whole bunch of stuff. And hey, Gan, you need to get a little bit better there, bud.
Ooh.
Gan, the first night we play, he's like, yeah, I need somebody to practice against that's like at my skill level. And I think he won like one match.
I remember that. Yeah, he kept losing. I mean, I kept losing too, but at least I knew I was going to suck. Smash Brothers, it's good. I'm sure we'll talk more about it as when we get Tom on here and stuff.
We'll definitely be talking about it when Joker comes out.
Oh, God, yeah. There you go. There you go. Fuck Joker. I'm talking about Piranha Plant.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
That'll be my main. What else we got? What's some of the news, Aaron?
I got some news. Let's see what we got here. Here's a good one. Subnautica is free on the Epic Store right now.
Oh, yeah.
So if you got the Epic Launcher, if you got an Epic account, you get up on there and get Subnautica for free.
Mm-hmm.
And dovetailing right off of that, Epic's breaking the law in Canada and the EU.
Wait, what?
So In the terms of service or whatever, the I agree to blah, blah, blah when you go to download Subnautica. Canada and the EU, in Canada, it's covered under the anti-spam laws, and in the EU, it's covered under the GDPR, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, like things like email, receiving emails and shit like that, have to be opt-in. So, like, if the tick box is automatically checked, like, yes, I would like to accept get emails, blah, 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 that box has to be unticked. You have to, like, a person in Canada that you has to click that box and say, yes, I want to be it. I want that. So what Epic's done is in their little acceptance agreement, they put the word not in it.
Oh, geez.
So it says you're automatically subscribed and the box is not ticked. And it says, click this box if you want to not receive emails.
Uh-huh.
Blah, 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 blah. And the box is unticked. Now, there of course, is. Most people are going to see that blurb and go, oh, it's click this box if you want to accept emails. I'm not going to check that. But you're already subscribed, and being auto-subscribed to emails, super legal in Canada and the EU and maybe elsewhere. I think it's fine in the States, but yeah, so they're catching a little bit of flack for that.
Big shout out, by the way, to Jordan at Jafer, who says he's driving Las Vegas right now, and it's amazingly better thanks to listening to us at SideQuesting.
Yay.
Yep.
What else I got? Since I'm talking about Canada, PSN, PlayStation's digital marketplace, going to start charging sales tax in Canada in 2019. So them $70 games, which are $60 games for you guys, are now going to cost
$1,000.
Probably like $83 or something like that.
So
for a base game.
Are we going to talk about this crazy split that Epic Games is doing with the that everybody seems to be doing right now all of a sudden, the percentage split?
Yeah, so I can bring that up really quick. Digital storefronts.
there's a war.
There's kind of a war. When digital storefronts first started, basically, they had what was called a 70-30 split, which is like a concept that's existed in like art and philosophy and economics for forever. But the way it was implemented for these was that if you sell a game, you get 70% of a sale and the distributor gets 30%. Steam does it like that. Apple does it like that. I think some of the other ones like Origin, Bethesda, blah, blah, and Uplay, or whatever Uplay, is that the store name or is that the app name? I think all the old school ones tend to do a 70-30 split. So then Epic came out with their store 2 weeks ago now, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and said, we're going to do an 88-12 split, which means that if you sell a game on Epic, you get 88% of the sale, and Epic takes 12. And then on top of that, if you build your game in Unreal, they also take 5% sales, I think, over a certain amount of sales, if you sell it on Steam. And so they said, if you sell it on Epic, we'll waive that. So we just won't take 5%. So then I think yesterday or this morning, Discord, which also has a storefront, came out and said, we're doing a 90-10 split.
Discord.
So come to us instead of those other guys. And I think that's all they're doing. I think it's just straight up a 90-10 split.
Yeah. Yep.
How long is this sustainable for something like Epic Games? I mean, obviously that Fortnite money is getting dumped.
Epic Games actually did an interview, I want to say with gamesindustry.biz, where they had said that they had basically looked at the data they had from Fortnite, which gives them an idea of cost because of how often they update the game. They put an update out like every week. It's like a 30 gig download. So it gives them an idea of what a lot of people downloading that much from them on a weekly basis looks like. And they had said that their 88-12 split was feasible. Like it wasn't like a stunt to get people from Steam. They were saying like, it's still profitable. So I'm not sure. 90-10 that Discord's doing, I'm very curious to see, because as far as I know, Discord's not profitable. Discord's one of those companies, as far as the last time I looked into it, is like Twitter, where they don't really make money. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's going to work out in the long term for them. But as for Epic, I think it's okay.
Yeah, I feel like Epic maybe can sustain it just because they are selling like an engine, their own games,
exactly.
But you have, yeah, Discord and anybody else, like those profit margins, probably at least, you know, half of them go into server stability, like making sure that people can actively download things and that, you know, that they can host these things and people can gain access to them, play them online. I just don't know with any of these platforms going forward. Like, I think Epic pretty much put the death note in anybody else trying this.
Sure.
Just because, you know, everybody claimed for how long that Steam was too big to challenge. And now, like, Epic coming in and Epic being even more aggressive than Steam, I just don't know how anybody other than those two really themselves.
There was another one that had been announced that gave something even crazier of a split, like a 95-5 or something crazy for indie games. It's I think we're at the point right now for this type of stuff where it's a lot like Netflix and Hulu and and Amazon Prime, where you're getting all these streaming services and they're all fighting over you know, a lot of them have the same exact content.
It was Microsoft. Yeah.
Microsoft. There was another one too. There's another one. It was an indie based. I have it in my email somewhere, but it's just kind of crazy that there's so many of these things all of a sudden the last like week or two popping up, and they're. I don't know how sustainable it is.
Apple and Google have both switched to an 85-15 model.
Did they really?
And Microsoft Store is a 95-5. And that change was from 7 months ago. So, yeah, that's crazy. 95.5 doesn't seem very good at all, but like.
Yeah, although it's like. It seems
very
like
good
it's,
at all for Microsoft, I should say.
Like, although it seems like it's going to like cause like bad problems for like competition, the good news is for at least the like immediate future, I think gamers are really going to benefit. Because you're going to see both Valve and Epic be very aggressive of making sure that either exclusives or like content that you can only get for free or whatever comes to these platforms. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was incredibly smart of Epic to basically reach out, grab Supergiant and like remove that game from ever coming out on Steam. And you know, that game is coming out on every platform imaginable at some point.
Yep.
And skipping Steam is like, you know, would be a huge misstep for a studio. But the fact that Epic is the one that's like supporting you, like maybe it's viable. You know, they're already giving out Subnautica and Super Meat Boy, which are two very good games for free this month. Steam occasionally does free weekends, but as far as I know, they don't personally hand out free games. I don't think Valve does that unless it's like, oh, it's a winter sale and like, you know, Orange Box is like 90 cents because who cares at this point? I think Steam is going to have to start either like looking to do exclusives. There's talks of them like obviously developing new games. Those games won't be on Epic's platform. But you're going to see a lot of these people chasing developers here. And you know, it's really not impactful to the consumer because I can download both storefronts. I can have both. Sure. I don't have to pay money to have either of these accounts.
I've had this argument with a bunch of people this past week and they're all just like, I don't want to be on another store. All my library is on Steam. All my friends are on Steam. And I'm just like, you can add these games to your Steam library. Like, you can add the launcher in there so you can get the overlay. And they're like, yeah, but I don't want to do it. And then the other one I keep hearing is, well, Epic makes Fortnite, so fuck them.
Well, that's on you. If you're going to skip good games because you hate one decent game, like, that's on you.
The one conversation that's been slightly different that I've had is a person doesn't want to buy anything from Epic because they came out and announced they'd locked down. I can't even fucking think of the name of the game right now. They got an exclusive for their store that had been already up on Steam, but hadn't come out yet. Like some sort of Factorio, first person Factorio type game.
I believe Ashen was actually on Steam and had a Steam page. Yeah. Wasn't launched yet, wasn't in early access or anything, but did have a Steam page and then immediately got pulled after the announcement at the Game Awards. So, like, there's some, like, I would say shady business, but, like, it's not like I went to Steam and was like, thank God that Ashen is coming to Steam. Like, I would not be able to play it if it wasn't here. Like, I don't know. I think the argument of not wanting to I can see not wanting to support Epic.
And I get that because you can choose as a consumer to support whatever brand and cause or whatever you want. And I understand that, you know, you might not want to directly support them by buying this game on their storefront. But how much, I mean, 12%? 12% of your sale is supporting Epic. If anything, you should feel as the consumer that that's the cost of making it available.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to play the game, you got to do it. Unless there's going to be a DRM-free version or something like that. Like,
I mean, I truly don't give a shit. No. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to play the game, I'm going to play the game. If you're gonna boycott the games, I mean, more power to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just going to buy the game anyway, then stop complaining about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and you know it's like 3 weeks away from when we get the first Epic Humble Bundle and all types of things. So I don't know, as somebody who watches the video game market and stuff like that, I can only see this as a positive and not a negative.
Real quick, any other news before Sam has to leave us?
Yeah, I got a couple of things. Artifact is hemorrhaging players.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody looked at some stats. Launch day, it peaked at 60,000 players, and then within a week, it had dropped to 25,000 players. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's still just dropping. Like, that game is that game is very quickly dying, and part of it is because nobody wants to pay money for a game they paid for to play ranked.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. It's Valve, so they'll never let that game die, I'm sure. It might go free to play, and then you'll still pay money, but it'll be free, so I'm sure the players will increase. Heroes of the Storm, dead.
Yeah.
Heroes of the Storm, the global championship was axed for 2019, and the developers of the game, in the vast majority of them, are being shifted off to other projects.
Yeah, the takeaway there is not that, like, Heroes of the Storm is going away. They're just shifting their, like, development focus to other projects. So, like, their game is still going to get updates, but on a much different schedule. Like, they were updating, like, big updates, like, once a month, I think. But now, like, the update schedule is basically going to be, like, one huge update, maybe, like, every 4 months or so. Just because, like, they canceled Heroes of the Dorm, which was their, like, college pro sport tour.
Yeah.
And I think they canceled another tour.
The global championship.
Yeah. So it seems like, you know, that's just going to be like a moonlighted game, like StarCraft 2 is kind of now, where, like, occasionally it'll get something cool. They'll use it to promote something else in their lineup, and it'll still be active. You can still play it and stuff like that. I just don't think they figure it's worth keeping up with League of Legends and all that, those types of MOBAs at this point.
Hmm. Anything else?
No, that was pretty much everything I had.
Okay.
I mean, there's more Epic stuff, like them being shitty about refunds.
And the Infinity Blade, right? They got rid of Infinity Blade off the App Store.
Okay, so that really confused me because somebody mentioned that to me, so I looked into it. And apparently they added and then also removed an item called the Infinity Blade from Fortnite.
Yes, so they added a mythic sword called the Infinity Blade, which was based off of the design of the Infinity Blade from the game. Players were pissed. It was overpowered as shit. You would pull it and it would immediately full health you and full shield you and would, like, immediately kill anybody around you in one swing. So it just became this huge clusterfuck around the sword for, like, the first 5 minutes, and then people, like, swinging the shit around in the sword. So at first they were like, listen, we'll nerf it, no more building, you know, we'll take some of the shield out and stuff like that, you're fine. Fans still lost it, and they finally today were like, okay, cool, we're going to vault it, we're going to look at mythic items in the future, and we'll let you know. Because they had said in an update that they had planned on adding more mythic items to the game in the future, so I think that might be on hold permanently now.
Yep. Who knows that anything Infinity Blade will come back, except for the shitty Dave and Buster's game. Anything else, or are we done? Are we packing it up for this Friday?
Unless you want to talk about Spider-Man, you see it yet?
No, I might be going tonight. That's why I'm hoping to pack things up pretty quickly here.
I didn't even know that movie was out.
It is out, and I have I'm staring at my phone with tickets available at 10:45 p.m. So I'm my thumb is hovering to pick it up.
How far away from the theater are you?
I'm about 8 minutes from the theater, so which is just enough time for me to head over there, get myself a giant ass frozen Coke and a big old box of popcorn. And
I'm so fucking jealous of you.
We have theaters everywhere. They're like pouring out of us over here.
I am. I want to say 13 hours away from the nearest theater.
You what?
Well, because I don't own a car, right?
So you're still walking.
It's 40 kilometers away to the nearest theater.
Okay, oh, so geez. Not okay. Actually that bad via car.
24.8 miles.
Okay.
Oh, that's nothing.
That's like 30 minutes.
Walk there and then walk back.
Yeah. Yeah. 13 hours. That's awesome.
I think that's about how long it would take.
Probably. Yeah. 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 If you really can't wait for it, start now.
It could take you the first Avengers arc to get there.
There you go. All right, gentlemen, thank you guys for an awesome Friday night fights here over on Side Quest.
We're late this week.
We are late this week because we're all I've been illin. We got holiday parties. We're still recuperating from that that garbage that was last week's podcast experience. We've all been playing Smash Brothers, but we're marching towards the holiday. We're almost there. In the meantime, you can find us at sidequesting.com, at sidequesting on Twitter, on Twitch, sidequesting TV, on YouTube, sidequesting TV. You can find us individually. I'm at Dolly Domofsky. Where can we find you, Sam?
You can find me at SamDI79 on Twitter. Let me check here. I have not tweeted since December 7th when Amazon did not deliver Smash Brothers.
Nice.
With a shocked Pikachu emoji. Amazon. My year in review is just going to complain about shipping and handling, I think. But yeah, you can find me there. I tweet once a month.
Oops. Excellent. Excellent. Where can we find you, Aaron?
You can find me standing in line, dutifully waiting for that new Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
There you go. Sonic the Hedgehog.
That looks amazing. Nice. Also, you can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Scratty Bones. I'm probably going to be streaming that game at some point this week, which is called Dawn of Man.
Dawn of Man, there you go.
I'll be looking at that.
We'll see you guys on the next side quest and on the website. Bye.